Hallelujah.
Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
And I hope I've encouraged somebody's heart today. Yeah. Let us pray. Father, we bless you this morning and we thank you for your presence with us today. We are glad to be here. We pray in the name of Jesus that as your word comes forth, let it come to pierce even to the dividing asunder of our souls and spirits, all the way to our joints and marrow. Let your word be a discerner of our thoughts and our intents. Let your word accomplish the purpose for which you're sending it and draw us closer to yourself as we receive your word this morning. I pray for everyone listening to me. May their hearts be tremendously blessed as they hear. In Jesus' mighty name, and let everybody say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands again for Jesus if you don't mind. This month was actually declared in this church as our month of spiritual growth and maturity, right? And it sort of coincided with the Women's Week and Mother's Day. So for the first part of the month, we kind of focused on things to do with mothers and what have you. But I want to share with you on the theme of the month, which is spiritual growth and maturity. Everybody say with me, spiritual growth and maturity. And I'm going to talk on the subtitle, growing up into Christ. So I'm sharing with you on spiritual growth and maturity, growing up into Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And would you kindly turn your Bibles with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're reading from verse number 17. 2 Peter 3, verse 17 to 18, from the New Living Translation. Peter writes here and says, "You already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of those wicked people and lose your own secure footing." Tell your neighbor, stand firm. Stand firm. "Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." I want to draw your attention to that sentence again. You must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Underline that in your Bible. The Bible no way. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, this epistle, the second letter of Peter, was written to believers all around, to all the believers and all the Christians who lived in those times. And if you read through the epistle, you find out that Peter touches on different things. So he talks about growth in Christian character. He also talks about the importance of knowing the word of God. He touches on the second coming of Christ. He gives warnings about false teachers and false doctrines. He talks about the dangers of backsliding. He also emphasizes on living holy and godly lives. And he talks about so many other things. But at the tail end of this letter, he concludes and he makes a very important statement. And he says to his readers, or to his hearers, and to his audience, that grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to admonish somebody sitting next to you. Tell the person, please grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Say that to somebody, please. Hallelujah. Now, what is Peter saying here? In other words, what he's saying is grow spiritually and mature in the Lord. Grow spiritually and mature in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest desires of God for every child of his is that that person will not merely be converted, but will grow. Amen. Amen. It is not just about being saved. It is the first phase of a transformation that is supposed to occur in the life of anyone who gives his life to Jesus. But beyond that, there is an expectation of the God who saved us, that not only will we be converted, but we will grow. And I'm talking about spiritual growth and maturity. Hallelujah. You know, I like babies, and I'm sure all of you like babies, hopefully. A baby is wonderful, but a baby is not supposed to remain a baby forever. Does that make sense? Babies are nice, but a baby is not supposed to remain a baby forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11 says something there. He says, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, now notice that he did not say if I grow up. He said when I grow up, which means that it is an expectation. It is required that I grow. He says, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. And every child is expected to grow. Now let me ask you, my friends. After you have a child, what are some of the things you are expecting to see with this child when he's 1 year? Parents, talk to me. The child should start walking. The child must attempt to talk. There are some children, they are paying sin before they are born. So by 9 months, they are talking and singing. And some of you, when I look at your faces, the way you like to talk, I have a feeling that you are that kind of child. So you're expecting the child to be able to walk, to be able to talk. What about when the child is 2 years? Run. What else are you expecting to see? Engage in some kind of conversation. Right? What else? He should be able to eat on his own. He may mess up, but it should get progressively better. What about when the child is 5 years? He should be learning how to bath himself, brush his teeth. What else? Start writing and stop wee-weeing on the bed. Even 5 crown. Do you see? Yes. These are all expectations. And then when the child is 10 years. The child is about to marry. Now you can see that at every stage, there are certain signs that you're looking for. And what are those signs? The signs of growth, and the signs of progress, and the signs of maturity. So when you don't see those signs, you begin to worry. It is one of the very stressful things if you're a parent and you are not seeing certain signs of progress, growth, and maturity in your child. And there are some parents who have challenged children. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing at all. And much as you liked them when they were babies, you don't want them to stay babies forever. Ladies and gentlemen, that is also God's expectation for you and I. That just as a parent, you are not happy when you realize that your child is not growing, is not maturing, and all of that. You become disturbed. Our God, who is our parent, because we call him our Father who is in heaven. He's our parent. He's also not happy when we are not growing and when we are not maturing. And ladies and gentlemen, there are many Christians who have been in the church for many, many years, but have not grown or are not growing and are not maturing. That's the truth. Look, if you run through messages that I have preached here in this church over these years, you find out that many times I have touched on subjects to do with growth and maturity. There is no year, sometimes twice, three times in the year, when I do not talk about something related to that. But the question is that, why do I keep talking about it? Why do I keep coming back to that subject? The reality is a sad one. That many of us Christians are not growing and maturing the way God is expecting us to. And spiritual maturity is not measured by age. That I am 50 years old, so I am spiritually mature. It is not measured by the number of years you've been in the church. Some of the most spiritually immature people I have ever encountered are people who have been Christians and believers for many, many years. They've been saved for years, but there's no growth. There's no maturity. There's no progress in their lives. And it's a very unfortunate thing. Spiritual maturity is not measured by the loud prayers that you pray. Don't be impressed by those things. Don't be impressed. It doesn't count for much. It's not by how loud your prayers are. It is not measured by your position in the church or in the ministry. Because you can be a pastor, but still be very immature. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are things that you look out for that reveal whether you are growing spiritually and whether you are becoming mature in the knowledge of Christ Jesus and in the faith. So we are going to look at that. But before we do that, we want to find out what do we really mean by spiritual growth and maturity? What do we mean by spiritual growth and maturity? Because you see, they are connected, but they are not exactly the same. Just as you can have a fruit that is grown, but is not mature. It is not every mango fruit that you can eat. It's grown. It's big. But you can't eat it. Because even though it is grown, it is not mature. How many can understand that? A couple of weeks ago, I think I was coming to the office. When I say I'm coming to the office here, because I have some small office be here that I do my things. And I hadn't eaten, and I realized that I was hungry. I was asking myself, what am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? So, I don't even know why I left home without eating. You know, there are some days like that. So there was food in the house, but I hadn't eaten. Now, when I was coming, in fact, I dropped off my car at the washing bay, and then I walked to church. And then I saw this woman with roasted plantain and groundnuts. What do we call it in Ghana? Kofi broke man. I thank you very much. So I felt that now this is easy to get and easy to eat. You don't have to worry, go and buy this for me, go and buy this for me and all of that. So I went there. And then I looked at the plantain that was ready to be bought. But it was ripe plantain, but there was something about it. So now I asked her, Madam, are you sure that this your plantain, it is ripe? She said, yes, it is ripe. I mean, I don't know whether they allow you to hold it. They don't, you see. Yeah, so I couldn't check for myself. I had to take care for her word. When I got here and I started eating, I bit into it once and said, Mami Adadam. Because ripe plantain has a sweet taste. This thing was not sweet at all. And inside was some way. And I said to myself that it is one of these plantains that people force it to ripe when it is not ready. Because it's amazing what people do with food. And those of you, when you are eating, you don't pray over the food and you start eating. And stop those prayers that you pray. Blessed, bless. Amen. What prayer is that one? Look, learn to sanctify the food you eat. Implore that the blood of Jesus will cleanse the food of all kinds of impurities and deliver you from cyanide. What else should it deliver you from? Mercury. Cement and what have you. I'm telling you something. Pray over the food you eat. Why? Pray over it. So, you see, the fact that something looks grown does not mean that it is mature. So, when we say spiritual growth, it is the gradual development of a believer into the likeness of Christ. The gradual development of a believer into the likeness of Christ. Hallelujah. The gradual development of a believer. So notice, it is gradual, but it is development all the same into the likeness of Christ. That is what we mean by spiritual growth. Can I have an amen from somebody? So if you read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 15, the Bible says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us. With lies so clever, they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Then notice what he says, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So that is gradual development. And the objective is to become more like Christ. And it is a gradual process, but it must be development. That is what we mean by spiritual growth. And we are expected, if we are growing into Christ Jesus, we are expected to grow in faith, grow in obedience, grow in understanding, grow in holiness, grow in love. These are but examples of different areas where growth must be seen. In our faith, in our obedience, in our understanding, in our holiness, in our love. So that's what spiritual growth is. Now, what do we mean by spiritual maturity? What do you think? What does maturity mean? When we say that somebody is mature, what does it mean? Help me, help me, help me. The person is grown, yes. Excellent. You know, the person can reason, the person can be trusted with responsibilities. So usually when we say that somebody is mature, we're saying that the person, for example, one of the things we are saying when we say somebody is mature, that the person is able to manage his emotions instead of being ruled by them. All right? You're able to manage your emotions. When you see somebody who is mature, that mature person is able to manage his or her emotions and is not ruled by them. So if you are very reactionary, very impulsive, quick to flare up, what it should tell you is that you are not there yet. If your emotional intelligence is not at a certain level, it shows that maybe you've come far, but you haven't reached maturity. That's what I'm saying, that you may have grown, but you are not mature. Because you know that it's not every adult who is mature. There are some adults who are very childish in the way they see things, in the way they react to things. So I'm saying to you that if you notice that you are very emotional, very reactionary, quick to respond and then talk and say things and behave in a certain way, it means that you are not there yet. If you're mature, you take responsibility for your actions. You're not always blaming people for things. Mature people take responsibility for their actions. And you don't always point fingers at others that they are the reason why this, they are the reason why that, they are the reason why that. If you're always pointing to others and trying to insist that it is because of this they said, it is because of this they did, that is why you also did this, what it means is that you are not very mature. If you are not mature, you only think about yourself. You don't consider others. That's one of the signs of maturity. You only think about yourself. So everything that you look at it in the light of yourself and not, you know, considering others. If you are mature, you understand yourself honestly. Mature people know that this is where I am at. This is what I have. These are my strengths. These are my weaknesses. And spiritual growth and maturity is not equivalent to perfection. That's not what I'm talking about. Because it's a gradual progress. It's a gradual development. And when you are maturing, you know and understand things about yourself. And you are honest in your assessment of yourself. When you are mature, you make decisions with the bigger picture in mind. That's what mature people do. Mature people don't just look at things in the immediate. They look beyond. They are able to assess things. That's maturity. When you are not mature, all you think about is spending what you have now and blowing time now. But mature people, you know, will invest, buy land, start building because they are thinking about their future. The week before, I drove all the way to Gomuafete on a Thursday morning to go and dedicate the house of one of our pastors. Do you know Gomuafete? It's not too far from the Gudubram camp, but that's how far it is. And from where I live here to that place, it's a travel. She met me and took me to the place. You have to drive. When I got there and saw what, by the grace of God, she had built, I exclaimed in joy. Said, congratulations, you have done well. They've not finished though. They've not finished the house. But when you see her and look at what she has built, you can never imagine that something like that could have come out from somebody her size. This is not somebody who earns a lot of money. But you can see, because of maturity, there's a certain vision she has for life. And I explained to her that there are many people who earn incomes far greater than what comes to you. And this person that I'm talking about, for years, she's not had a regular paying job where every month you know that this is what is coming to me. For years, she hasn't had that. The work that she does is by contract. And for some months now, she hasn't had a contract. So even with the little that comes into her hands, she's been able to put up that thing there. Oh, I was so happy that I went. And I prayed and dedicated the house with a lot of joy and faith that God will give her the ability. They're not finished, but they've started living there. Mature. And you would think that for people who are living that far, they should already be making plans to relocate from church. Is that not so? I say, it's a very far place. Oh. Gomuafete to come to church here. But that's not the mind they have at all. It's not even an option for them. And it speaks volumes to me about their level of maturity. So, one of the Sundays, they said, usually when they go there, so they live in Accra somewhere, and then sometimes they go to the place, go and do some work there, then they'll sleep there and everything. So one of the days, they told themselves that they will spend the night on the Saturday so that they would experience what it takes to be able to come to church. Pick from here to here, from here to here. And they said they realized that when they leave at this time, they can get to church before the service starts. When you see things like that, it tells you a lot about the maturity of people. So maturity, one of the signs of it is the ability to make decisions, to plan and to project for the future and not just be thinking about today. It's like, let's eat and enjoy for tomorrow. We die. Yeah. And then they will quote the words of Jesus. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You are quoting the words of Jesus to me. Do you see? You see, you have to learn to interpret the scriptures correctly. Because what you think that scripture means is different from what Jesus was referring to. And when Jesus said that, he was not saying that don't plan, don't project it. He was talking about you are always worrying. That statement was in relation to worry and stress, that you are always harassed. Hey, what to do this? What will happen? That's what he's talking about. It doesn't have anything to do with planning and projecting for the future. So don't spoil the scriptures. Amen. Yes, so spiritual maturity, now to come down to it, is the state where a believer becomes stable, discerning, responsible, fruitful, and Christ-like. Spiritual maturity is the state where a believer becomes stable, discerning, responsible, fruitful, and Christ-like. Should I say it again? Spiritual maturity is the state where a believer becomes stable, discerning. Discerning means you are able to read things correctly and judge things right. Spiritual maturity is the state where a believer becomes stable, discerning, responsible, fruitful, and Christ-like. That's what we mean by spiritual maturity. You are stable. You are stable. That means that it's not easy to shift you, to move you. And your stability is such that you just don't take decisions randomly. When you are stable, you are grounded. And so if you are a member of this church and you are not grounded here, even though this is the church God has placed you in, it tells me that you are not mature. Because maturity comes with stability. You are stable in your Christian life. You are stable in your church attendance life. You are stable in your church participation life. You are stable in your involvement in church. Stability. It reveals something about your state, your spiritual maturity. Discerning. Able to judge things correctly and discern things well. Responsible. When a person is mature, the person is responsible. When a person is spiritually mature, you can entrust the person with responsibilities and they'll be carried out well. Can I have an amen? Amen. That's spiritual maturity. Fruitful. Every matured Christian, spiritually matured Christian, one of the things you see about the person is that the person is fruitful in the knowledge and in the service of Christ Jesus. And if you don't have fruits, fruits are like souls that you have won, souls that you are discipling, people that you are following up, people that you are working on to help them to be established in the Lord. Fruits are good works and all of that. If you are spiritually mature, we must see these things in your life. And if we don't see them, don't deceive yourself. It means that you have not yet gotten to a certain place in spiritual maturity. You may have grown, but you are not mature. Because spiritual maturity comes with fruitfulness. And I dare say that many people in church, and not just here, all over, are spiritually immature because there are no fruits. And then Christ-like. It's one of the signs of spiritual maturity. You are becoming more and more like Jesus. That shows that you're spiritually mature. Or you're becoming more mature. You're becoming more and more like Jesus in the way he talked, in the way he dealt with situations, in the way he reacted to circumstances, in his love, in his patience, in his kindness, in his righteousness, in his holiness. The more we become like Christ, the more Christ-like we become, the more we can say of ourselves that we are becoming spiritually mature. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son. Then look at the next thing he says, that we will be mature in the Lord. The King James says perfect, all right? That we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. It's talking about maturity. becoming more like Christ, where Christ is the standard. The standard is not your pastor. The standard is not your grandmother. The standard is Christ. And the more we become like Christ, the more it reveals that we are making progress in our spiritual maturity. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. There's much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. And God is speaking to many of us here. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Then he says solid food is for those who are what? Mature. Who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Now look. You go to visit somebody in her house. And when you get there, you find out that her 4 months old baby, she's feeding the baby with a pim and in trouble for garden egg stew. Do you know apem? Apem is boiled and ripe plantain. 4 months old baby. If you go and see such a scene, what would you say? You say what? You scream. You are killing the child. Why? Is it not food? Is it not food that she's giving to the baby? Answer me. Is it food or is it not food? It's food. But why is it a problem that she's giving the food to that child at that stage? Baby is not mature. It's not baby food. It's not baby food. So when you are mature, there are things that we can see with you. Even what you eat and all of that. It speaks volumes. Of that, and God is expecting us to be mature. He says solid food is for those who are mature. Hallelujah. So now we ask ourselves, how do we really know whether we are growing spiritually and we are becoming more mature? How do we know? And it's not an instantaneous thing. It doesn't just happen in a flash. It's a journey. It's a progress. All right? But how can you tell? How would you know that you are making progress or not? I have invented a new word. And that word is spiritometer. Yes. I'm going to register it. So anybody who uses it has to pay me something. Spiritometer. What is a spiritometer? It's a spiritual instrument. That we use to measure spirituality and maturity. Spiritometer. Write it somewhere. If you hear anybody using that word, tell the person, hey, it is my pastor who invented that word, spiritometer. So we want to ask ourselves that when it comes to that gauge of a person's spirituality, if we put you on the spiritometer, what readings are we going to get? That's what we are looking at. And what I want all of us to do is to submit ourselves to this test on the spiritometer. Now, there are certain signs that when you see, you'll be able to tell yourself whether you're making progress or not. And what I want you to do after you've, you know, heard about these signs is to grade yourself. That on the spiritometer, where are they? Do you see? So you grade yourself that based on my gradings, I got 40% on the spiritometer, 35% on the spiritometer, 75% on the spiritometer. And you have to do it honestly. So I'll let you do this exercise. Then you tell me what you got. Then if you tell me, I'll also tell you what I think of the grade that you said you got. Whether I agree with you. Or I don't agree with you. Everybody say spiritometer. Yeah, say it's a word invented by our pastor. Hallelujah. So what are the signs of spiritual growth and maturity? Let's run through them quickly. Number one, hunger and desire for God's word. Hunger and desire for God's word is one of the signs that indicates spiritual growth and maturity. The more you grow spiritually, the more you mature, the more you will have a hunger and a desire for the word of God. A spiritually growing believer develops appetite for scripture. So that person, when he comes to church, he does not tune off when the word of God is being preached. Have you seen people like that before? During praises, jumping. Jumping, all of that, doing all kinds of moves. When the preaching of the word comes, the person arranges himself in the church. And when you look at the person's face, it's yawning, he's looking sleepy. Somebody who can't wait for the service to be over. It's a sign. It's what? It's a sign. Yeah. It makes you a suspect. Be worried if every time you come to church, when the word of God is being preached, you are feeling sleepy and you're always yawning. And don't say that the pastor is not called. Or the pastor is not anointed. And I don't stand here to do comedies for you to laugh so that you stay awake. That's not my ministry. Do I look like a comedian to you? But there may be a concert. And I have to do that so that I'll keep you awake. That's not the purpose of any lightness in my preaching or any joke in my preaching. I'm saying something to you. When you don't have a certain hunger and desire for the word of God. Look, I don't lie to you. When I'm preaching, I watch your faces. And I can see on your faces those who have a hunger for God's word. Those who like it and desire. Look at some scriptures about that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. New King James Version. 1 Peter 2, 2 to 3. It says, as newborn babies, desire, do what? Desire the pure milk of the word that you may do what? Grow thereby. Spiritual growth comes with the word of God. And you must desire that word so that you can grow thereby. So one of the signs of somebody who is making progress on the spiritometer is that the person has a certain hunger and desire for God. Not just that, but there's a certain excitement that the person has to hear the word of God. Jeremiah 15:16. New Living Translation. He said, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. You see, to devour. Have you been very hungry before and they gave you food? When it's like that, you don't eat the food, you devour it. That's the kind of thing he's talking about. So it speaks of a certain eagerness. And he says, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight. It's a sign of spiritual growth and maturity. The word of God is something that gives you joy and excitement. Sometimes you read the Bible, you read something, and it touches you in a very amazing way, and you exclaim, wow, God is good. Sometimes you're reading the scripture and something strikes you and you begin to smile to yourself. It's a sign. Psalms 119 verse 103. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Do you see? It says, your words are sweet to my taste. They are sweeter than honey. You see, all these scriptures are describing a certain desire, a certain yearning, a certain craving for the word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, when you have that thing, it is one of the signs. It's not the only sign, but it is one of the signs that when it comes to your spiritual growth and maturity, you are making progress. The second one, consistency in prayer. consistency in prayer. It's another sign of spiritual growth and maturity. Where you get to a place where prayer becomes a relationship and a lifestyle, not just an emergency activity. Emergency activity. And the truth is that for many of us Christians, prayer is an emergency activity. It's something that we engage in when there is an emergency. Your husband has slapped you. It's an emergency. I must pray. I am about to lose my job. They are threatening to sack me. It's an emergency. So I must pray. That doesn't speak of spiritual growth and maturity. But where there's a certain consistency, everybody say consistency. Now, when you are consistent, it means that you are doing the thing all the time and you are regular at it. And when there's consistency in prayer, it is a sign of spiritual growth and maturity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. That means pray all the time. Do it regularly. Do it consistently. Pray without ceasing. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer. Continue earnestly in prayer. New King James Version. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. It's talking about consistent prayer. Where it's a relationship. Where it's a lifestyle. Where it's not just something you are doing because a problem has arisen. Luke 18, verse 1. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. They should always pray and never give up. Ladies and gentlemen, when we attain a certain consistency in our prayer life, it reveals something, that we are making progress in our spiritual growth and maturity. That is why every opportunity that is presented to you to pray by your church, don't ignore it. You see, the problem with some of us is that we are very independent. What I mean is that you have made your own choice about where you want to pray and which prayers you want to join. Okay, but you don't realize that if you are part of a church, you are supposed to be a proper part of the church, which means that you must involve yourself in everything that goes on in the church. Otherwise, there's a deficiency, there's a problem. I don't have a problem with anybody who joins any of these massive prayer platforms to pray. I don't have a problem with it. But I'm saying to you that it is a problem if the prayers that are organized by your church, you don't participate fully and enthusiastically in those prayers, but you've joined other prayer platforms. So I'll be a good person if you call me in your times of crisis, that this thing is happening to you. I'll be a good person to direct you and say that, go and look for Jerry Easy. Why have you come to me? Why have you come to me? Go and look for Jerry. Is that not his name? Very powerful, anointed man. I'll even help you get his address. And I'll direct you to him. Because in your life, regular lifetime, that's where you always are. I don't have any beef with him. But why are you coming to me in your times of crisis? Because you are looking elsewhere. So I have become like an ATM machine to you. You only come to me when you need to withdraw money. When's the last time you saw your ATM machine? When's the last time you used your ATM card? Thanks to Momo and all of that. I'm explaining something to you, that even in your consistency in prayer as an indicator of your spiritual growth and maturity, even things like what I've just described to you, they tell a lot about you. But if you're spiritually mature in a certain sense, you recognize that if you are part of a church family, you must be a proper part of it, and you must involve yourself in everything that takes place in that church. Your maturity will let you do that. I'm telling you something. Number three, increasing obedience. Your time, Asun. Increasing obedience is a sign of spiritual maturity and growth. Increasing obedience, where increasingly you become more and more and more obedient. There are so many things that God is expecting us to do. We may not yet have been able to do all of them, but we must see that on our spiritometer, we are getting higher, we are getting greater marks when it comes to obedience. Hallelujah. I mean, if you go and write WASI math, and then the first time you got E, do you see? Is E pass? You failed. Yeah. It's not a proper pass. You got E. Eh? But then you try again, and this time you got, is there E plus? There's no E plus. So from E, no, you go D. D. Okay. Which is D7. So you got E8, and then you write again and you got D7. But it can't take you to where you want to go. But at least you have progressed. So what do you do again? You write. And this time you got what? Please be kind. C6. Will you be able to get most courses? With C6. Yeah. You didn't get A1. But you got C6. But you started off from E8. There's progress. It's far better. There's progress. I'm explaining something to you. Look, the Christian experience, it's a long road and it's a long journey. There are some things that will be done instantaneously in your life. There are things that are like that. There's a lot of truth in that. And I think the other time Pastor James was explaining to us that there are some situations where we have to tell ourselves that I am dead in Christ and my life is hid in Him. So because of that, I shouldn't be experiencing certain issues in my life. There's a lot of truth in that. But it is also true that sometimes people get better with time. And when it comes to obedience, there must be increasing obedience as a sign and a symptom of spiritual growth and maturity. So in James chapter 1 verse 22 to 25, he says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. So when we hear the word of God, there must be an effort. There must be a drive to obey it. You may not yet have finished obeying everything that the word of God says, but there must be increasing obedience. Increasing. We should look at ourselves, assess ourselves, that this year, last year, I was here in my level of obedience. Now I am here. I seem to have been able to deal with this. I still have to do this thing. I've not been able to fully obey here, but I am working towards it. I'm making progress. And ladies and gentlemen, when there's increasing obedience, it is a sign. Is there anybody here who has finished obeying everything that God said you should do? Let me see you raise your hand so that I can come and bow down to you and ask you to lay your hands on my bald head and give me that grace that is upon you. So I'm asking again, is there anybody here who has finished obeying God in everything that He said? If you dare, raise your hand for me to see. I'll immediately make you the pastor of the church, and I'll sit down for you to minister to me. The answer is no. There's nobody here like that. We Which is why the obedience thing is like an increasing thing. We work at it until we get better and better. You may not finish obeying God completely. You may not. You may not. But at least. Like, that's why when the Bible talks about the different kings of Judah, they'll make reference to David. And even David, they will say that he fully obeyed the Lord, except in the matter of Bathsheba. Then some of the other kings, they will say they obeyed the Lord, but not in the way that David obeyed him. So you always see that when you read about the different kings. All right? So the obedience thing, sometimes it is a progressive thing. And I'm saying that when there's increasing obedience, it's a sign that we are getting better and better in our spiritual growth and maturity. There are many more things. Let's see whether we can talk about them next week and we'll continue from there. But I want to conclude and say this, my friends. Sally, we have to try. We have to force to come up on the spiritometer. Yes. Have to try. Because we've been around for too long. You've known the Lord for so many years. Why is it that certain things are not going away? Or that you are not becoming better? It's not good. So it is not a message to condemn anybody, but it's a message to get us to rise up and do better and become more spiritually mature and grow more in the Lord. And like I said, I've preached on this subject many times, but it always comes up because there's still room for improvement. But by the grace of God, we will go higher on the spiritometer. Clap your hands unto the Lord and let's close the service. Let's rise to our feet, everyone. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Your spiritual journey begins with accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's where it all starts. And this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I've realized that I need this Jesus in my life. I'm very far from Him. I don't have a personal relationship with Him. Can you please guide me? Maybe you're watching me and you want to pray this prayer. If you want to do that, I want you, can you lift up your hands wherever you are and let us pray? You won't say, Pastor, help me to pray and commit my life to Jesus and receive Him as my Lord and Savior. God bless you. Now let's say this prayer together everywhere. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I give my heart to Jesus and I receive Him as my Lord and personal Savior. For the rest of my life, I will serve Him. I will follow Him. I will live for Him. Please write my name in the book of life. Please help me to know you more and to serve you better. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.